Well, I'm excited to be here with you guys. I can tell you this. I can promise you this. This has been a wonderful weekend for Sharon and I. We have loved every minute of it, and we are just excited to be here. We've done... Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Whoops. It's been a wonderful weekend. It's just been an amazing time to be here with you guys. And, you know, we were here for a number of years, and my dad is originally from Appling County, South Georgia's home for him. I was born and raised up in the North Georgia area, around the Atlanta area, when dad moved up there for work. You know what? We've been in South Georgia for a number of years. We were in Savannah for a while, pastored in Swainsboro. We've just been around here, got a lot of wonderful friends here. Met Les in the youth group, and then Van in the youth group when we were in North Carolina, Princeton, North Carolina. So it's just been a good homecoming weekend. I feel like I'm at home. Is that okay? Is that all right if I'm just at home today? Amen. Amen. Well, I want us to pray this morning. Before I do, though, let me get some housekeeping stuff out of the way. As I said, this weekend has been wonderful, and I appreciate it greatly. But the doctor stuff. Thank you. The doctor stuff, let me tell you, I was at my graduated from Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California. My dad, you know, went with us and the kids were there. And so dad wanted to take us out after the graduation ceremonies. And we're sitting there at the table and we went to a place and he said to the waitress when she came up, he said, Can you bring us a cake after the meal we're celebrating today? She said, oh, that's wonderful. Well, whose birthday is it? He said, no, we're not celebrating a birthday. We're celebrating with Dr. Harper. You know, proud papa moment, proud papa moment. My daughter was young, very young then, and she was already handling the coloring exercises as we walked in. So she said, oh my goodness, that's amazing. What kind of doctor are you? She says, the kind that can't help anybody. So I appreciate the honor, but I'm just Jimmy, okay? I'm just Jimmy. I learned at that point what swollen head I might have had. My daughter took that away real quickly. And I will say this, a doctoral program, I told somebody, I'm not really smart, I'm just persistent. And sometimes you just got to be persistent to get through stuff. And I feel like that's where I was. Well, let's pray this morning and let's ask the Lord to be with us. Would you join me? God, thank you so much for allowing us to be at this place today. God, this morning I pray that you might increase and that I might decrease so that your word can be heard and applied to the lives of your people in this place today, God. Help us bring the word to life in our hearts today. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and ask you to bless all that we do in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. Well, today this message is for everyone. Some of you are going to need this message this very hour. Some of you will need this message over the next few months or over the next year. Some of you will need it during the next few years. Some of you will need it a number of years down the road, but there will come a time in your life that you're going to need this message, and because you're going to need to be able to make it through the next minute and the next hour and the next day, and you're going to need something to lean on, something to hang on to. So I want to talk to you today about mountains and valleys. Mountains and valleys. Mountains, they are the highest points on earth. Mountains are large and tall. Mountains are far above the land below. They are rocky and they're jagged. Mountains have steep and sloping sides. They have an opportunity to put us in thin air with cold temperatures. Mountains are magnificent to behold. Valleys are the lowest points on earth. Valleys represent a depression in topography. Mountains are treacherous. They're full of danger. Valleys sometimes are brought about by extreme pressure. Mountains or valleys, I'm sorry, are usually formed by erosive action of running water. One valley usually opens up or connects to another valley, and they're often accompanied by steep walls that are too dangerous to navigate. Valleys are dangerous. But life is often viewed as a series of ups and downs, good times and bad times. And we sometimes refer to the bad times as life in the valley. And often we perceive the good times as life on the mountaintop. So certainly, if we think of life as a series of ups and downs, the good times, the bad times, we always want to live in the good times. We always want to live on the mountaintop because that's where the good times take place. And over again, the Bible talks about life on the mountaintop. In fact, in Genesis, the mountaintop was the resting place for the Ark of the Covenant. It was a place where refuge could happen in time of danger. In Exodus, the mountaintop was a place where people went to serve and meet with God. It was a place where God resided. In Deuteronomy, the mountain was a place where God spoke to His people on a regular basis. In Joshua, the mountain was a place of great victory. In Judges, many judges and prophets found refuge on top of the mountain. In Samuel, the mountain was a place of victory in battle. In Kings, the mountain was a place of great strength. In Chronicles, the mountain was a place to worship God. In Psalms, we see several examples of mountaintop experiences. The mountains are compared to strength, to righteousness, to holiness, and to peace. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Joel call the mountain a holy place. And then when we move to the New Testament, we see much of the same. In the Gospels, Jesus taught and He prayed. He found solitude. He worshipped and was transfigured from the mountaintop. Paul refers to the mountain as a place of power. Peter described being with Jesus on His holy mountain. John the Revelator described the mountain as a high and holy place where he was shown great things of God. The Word of God is clear. It helps us to understand that the mountaintop is a place of power. It's a place of refuge, and it's a place of strength. Not only do we see the power on the mountain in the Bible, but if we look around us in culture, in our everyday life, we see the mountain heralded as the place that we want to be. I remember a song that was made popular, and if my voice cracks, don't laugh. Amen? Okay. I remember the mountain as a place of refuge in the songs. There was a song that was popular a number of years ago. Lord, lift us up where we belong. Up front where the eagles fly. On a mountain high. Lord, lift us up where we belong. Up from the world we know, up where the clear winds blow, yeah. That song talked about being up on the mountain. Well, this is where I'm going to need some audience participation. Now, I should have told you this up front, but the louder you are and the more you amen, the shorter I preach this morning. Is that a good deal? Amen? A good deal? Amen? Amen. All right. All right. If I hit your area here, I want you to shout mountaintop, all right? Now, I'm going to go through a list of things because I want you to understand that we're all striving to be on the mountaintop. Somebody shout mountaintop. Mountaintop. See, the reality is we all want to be on the mountain this morning. On the mountaintop is where coaches and athletes win championships. Let all the coaches and the athletes say mountaintop. Let all the coaches and wannabe athletes say mountaintop. There we go. On the mountaintop is where students ace exams and write great papers. Let all the serious academicians right here say mountaintop. Any students in the house? Let all the students say mountaintop. There we go. On the mountaintop is where musicians sing and play marvelous melodies and healing harmonies. Let all the musicians say mountaintop. That's better. On the mountaintop is where teachers, I know we got some teachers in the house, where teachers so eloquently teach that students hang on their every word. Let all the teachers, Sunday school, public school, wherever, say mountaintop. On the mountaintop is where leaders grow up, learn much, and impact and influence, mentor and coach. The mountaintop is where leaders make a difference. If you're a leader or you want to be a leader, let all the leaders this morning say mountaintop. Mountaintop. See, on the mountaintop is where hard workers find good results. Let all those who put in the time and the effort and work diligently say mountaintop. The mountaintop is where preachers preach, where prayer warriors touch the heart of God, and where those who are in need are healed and saved and delivered and set free. If you love Jesus this morning, let God's people say mountaintop. I wish you could hear me and hear my heart this morning. See, the mountaintop is where we find success. The mountaintop is where good things happen. The mountaintop is where we soar with eagles. The mountaintop is where good things are positive. The mountaintop is where we breathe rarefied air. The mountaintop is where everything is right and everything is good. And we all want to be on the mountaintop. Amen? Because the mountaintop, it's where we feel the power of the Holy Spirit. It's where we inherit the blessings of a sacrificial Savior. It's where we experience the goodness of Almighty God. It's where we come into a place like the Rincon Church of God and know that God is with us. Let all God's children this morning say mountaintop. Do you want to be on the mountaintop? Are you climbing up the mountain? Are you striving to be on the mountaintop? Well, the mountaintop is where we want to be, but we don't always find ourselves on top of the mountain. Sometimes we find ourselves in the valley. The Bible also talks about the valley, and it gives us some understanding as to what the valley is. The valley is often referred to as a place of difficulty, in a place of trouble. The valley is called sometimes a place of defeat. It's a place of entrapment. It's a place of danger. It's a place where enemies are found. It's a place of vulnerability. It's a place where schemes of attack are formulated. The valley is a place where armies carried out raids. It's a place of fighting and evil. The valley in Psalm 23 even names the valley of the shadow of death. The valley is a place of desolation. It's a place where wild beasts live. It's a place of slaughter, a place of judgment, a place of despair, a place of death. The valley doesn't represent anything that's very positive in our lives. But hear me today. Listen to me as I say this. It's difficult for us to understand what living on the mountaintop is until we have experienced life through the valley. Let me say that again. It's difficult for us to understand what life on the mountaintop is all about until we've experienced life in the valley. See, life in the valley means pain. It means difficulty. It means weakness. It means an overwhelming sense of loss. It means living in the valley of despair. It means abandonment. It means destruction. It means anxiety and depression and struggle. And as bad as the valley may seem, hear me today, as bad as the valley may seem, the valley is a place where God ministers to us most. 2013 was not so great a year for me. I was still in my 40s. But I was struggling as I never had before. The beginning of the year, January, early. Coming out of December, family time with Christmas and all kinds of good things, I got the flu. And it was a pretty bad case of the flu. So I got the flu and I got over the flu, and then all of a sudden I had an aunt to die. We had taken her to Texas. She was from the Coweta County, Newnan, Georgia area. But we had taken her to Texas. She didn't have children. My sister and I were responsible for taking care of her. She had been sick, but we didn't think that sick, and all of a sudden she died. I went to Texas. We got her back to Georgia. We had the funeral. I preached the funeral. We took care of her and tried to handle things the best that we could. Not long after that, I got another case of the flu. This time the stomach flu. I just didn't think I was going to be able to be well at any time during the year. I hadn't so far. Then a couple of days after I'd gotten over that, my wife got a call and her dad was at the end of his battle with cancer. So we actually went up, and Lee gave me some time away. We actually went up to the same area, Palmetto, Noonan area, and we spent the last few days with him at his house, taking care of him and trying to work through things with him. As death takes place and people in the family kind of struggle, there were some issues with some of the things that we had to deal with there. Not long after we got back to Cleveland, I started feeling not so good, and so I went to the doctor, and I had some problems with my blood pressure. My dad had always been having trouble with blood pressure, and so I had to go on blood pressure medicine. My cholesterol was not good. My blood sugar levels were inconsistent. Doctor even said, "Is there any chance of heart problems in your family?" I said, "Yeah, my dad's had a heart attack and open heart surgery." He said, "You're going to the cardiac physician." So I went over there, and when I walked in the door, and I promise you this, I walked in somewhat like this, and I think I was the only person in there who didn't have a wheelchair or an oxygen tank. I felt out of place. I just felt out of place. I didn't feel like I belonged there, but the doctor sent me there. I had to have a stress test. There were all kinds of things that we had to deal with over the first couple of months for the year of 2013, and it was difficult. There were all kinds of issues that we had to deal with. And then the stress from all the issues, things just seemed to mount up. And I didn't enjoy any of the pain. I can tell you, pain is not joyful. Pain is not a time to rejoice. Pain is not a time to experience the good times of life. But God. Angie, but God. Some of you in your life right now, but God wants to step in. And in your difficult time, God wants to step in. See, God stepped into my life and He gave me the help I desperately needed. But that's really what God does all the time. He steps in. In fact, God sent Jesus to the world and He stepped in when we needed Him most. Do you realize that when this world was in the biggest mess it's ever been in, and I'm thinking sometimes today we're rivaling that time frame, but that's a topic for another day. Jesus stepped into the middle of the struggle so that He could redeem mankind and salvage this crazy world. Jesus had to defeat a lot of valleys in His time frame. I mean, He went through the valley and when the whole world doubted that He was Messiah. He fought against the valley of temptation as the enemy offered Him the treasures of this world. He entered the valley of indecision, but He rose above it and He proclaimed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." He experienced a valley of anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. As the Bible tells us, His sweat became as great drops of blood. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death down the Via Dolorosa as the crowds jeered at Him and mocked Him. For His entire life, Jesus fought through the valley because He had a job to do for you and for me. And He then, after walking through the valley so many times, He climbed up a mountain called Calvary. He was high and lifted up on Golgotha. He made the ultimate sacrifice at the place of the skull. Well, don't you think that if God could do that through Jesus at that particular time when the world could only be saved by a Savior, don't you think that God can salvage your world now? We've just been in a marriage conference this weekend. Don't you think that God can work out your marriage? Don't you think that God can help your family? Don't you think that God can meet your needs wherever that is? I want you to understand this morning, God's got your back. Look at your neighbor and say, "God's got you." Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, God has you in the palm of His hands. And you may be in the valley this morning, you may be on the mountaintop, but wherever you are in life, God has you. See, you cannot understand the mountaintop experience unless you have lived through the valley. You can't make it back to the mountaintop unless you cut ties with the valley. Because sometimes we get in the valley and we get stuck in the valley and we start to enjoy the valley, or we start to think the valley might be the place that we're supposed to be. No, you've got to cut ties with the valley. Because in your deepest, in your darkest valley, don't give up on God. I promise you this, God will never, ever, ever give up on you. Because when you need Him most, God will infuse you with His glory. He will engulf you with His presence. He will inflict you with His power. When you're in the valley of indecision, if you have wandered into the valley of despair, if you're passing through the valley of the shadow of death, if you're lost in the valley and cannot make your way out, I need to announce to you today that the God of the mountaintop is also the God of the valley. And in the same way that we raise our hands in victory when we stand on the mountaintop, sometimes we need to raise our hands in surrender when we stand in the valley. We know that all things, according to Romans 8:28, work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We realize that God's not surprised at our situation. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. Then in Romans 8:35, Paul asks, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your valley cannot separate you from the God who loves you enough to lead you out. There are times that we don't know what to do. There are times that we just can't figure out anything. Times in our life when nobody can guide us. Times when nothing seems to work. Times when we're ready to give up and quit. But in those times when I don't think I'm going to make it, in those times when I don't know where to go or what to do, we can run away from God and sink deeper into despair. Or we can run to God and know that He's going to lift us up on the mountaintop where we can find faith to continue our journey with Him. When all else fails, I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your life on things eternal. Come on and hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's pray. Lord, in my early years, I sang a song about the love of Jesus. And it taught me a valuable lesson, Lord. I am weak, but You're strong. God, I admit to You today that I don't always understand. God, we often say to You that we don't know Your plan, and we don't always. There are times in life when we're just overwhelmed and overrun by the pressures and the stress and the difficulties of life. There are days we feel like that we're paralyzed from the world around us, that we can't even move, can't function. There are times in life that we can't pray, that we can't find You, and we just don't know where Your presence has gone, Lord. God, we admit to You today that we need You. We need Your presence in our lives. We need Your closeness. We need Your power, God. Help us to know that Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy is always near, whether we're on the mountaintop, Lord, or whether we're in the middle of the valley. Lord, You told us in Your Word David helped us to understand, Lord, you've searched me and known me. You understand my thought afar off. You are acquainted with all my ways. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God, we pray today that you will hold us. Because there are just times that we don't understand life. There are times that we can't figure things out. Hold us today, God, in our pain. Hold us in our struggles and help us to know that you are going to lead us out of the valley. God, I know just from the numbers that are here today that some of the folks here today are in a valley. God, I just pray that you would deliver us from that valley, but help us, God, while we're in the valley to learn the lessons, to know what we're supposed to do. God, for those of us who are on the mountaintop today, thank you for that. But God, prepare us for the next valley because the valley is connected to the mountain and the mountain to the valley. And we always find ourselves in this up and down world, this roller coaster ride. We always find ourselves in between the valley and the mountain. So God, today, wherever your people are in this place, whatever they're dealing with, whatever they're going through, whether it's in the depths of the valley or it's high on the top at the peak of the mountain, God, help us to know that you care for us and you understand every inch of our journey. Today, God, we give ourselves to you. We ask you today, God, to help us, strengthen us, guide us, empower us, and most of all, God, stay with us every step of our journey. Thank you for your work in our lives today, Lord. Amen. I want you to look at me and I want you to listen to me this morning. I want you to make the most important decision that you have ever made in your life. If you don't know Jesus this morning, that's the first step. And I want you to make that decision to follow Jesus. But if you're following Jesus and you just don't understand life and you've found difficulty over the last day or week or month or year, if you have just been engulfed with difficulty in your life, I want to invite you to a place of prayer because I know that God is steady and ready to lead you out of the valley. And maybe you're on the mountaintop this morning, but you know somebody who's far below you in the depths of the valley. God's placing them on your heart right now. I want to ask you to come to the altar and let's spend some time in prayer. At some point in our lives, we will find the depths of the valley. And when we do, we need to know that God is with us. And God will lead us through the valley to the mountaintop. If you need Jesus and want to commit or recommit your life today, this is the place. If you're in the valley and you just want some folks to gather around you and pray with you and pray for you, this is the place. If you're on the mountaintop but you see people beside you and behind you and with you at work or at school and you know that they are in the valley and you want to pray for them and ask God to lift them up, this is the place. Would you stand with me this morning? And would you come to the front if you want prayer or if you want to pray for somebody? Would you join me at the front this morning? Anyone need prayer this morning? Come on. Come on, there's still time. Come on. If you need prayer this morning or want to pray for somebody, come on. Ask our altar team to get in place and find somebody. So many people responding this morning to the word of the Lord. And find somebody to join in prayer with this morning. If you have a family member, friend, loved one today who's here, will you come and stand with them in prayer? Down here we got some folks who need someone to pray with them. If you'll help us out, counsel, altar team members today. Lifting people up in prayer today. Church, as we begin to just lay hands on these and pray with them this morning, if you want to just join us, anybody who wants to come and join us and pray with these, if you will come, if you just come and join us this morning, everybody, and let's come together and lift up those this morning who need prayer. We're just going to take some time this morning and be the body and love on each other and pray for each other and lift one another up today. Let's do that together.
Let's sing this together. Y'all stay right where you're at. Let's sing together. Perfect song for what we've heard from the Word today. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I would know that He could solve them. I would know what faith in God. Is that true for anybody today? You know that's true? Come on, sing it out. Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend His Word. You know, there's sometimes in our lives where there's been sometimes for me, and as I'm praying with some of you guys today, that word learned is not past tense, it's present tense. You would sing, I'm learning to depend upon His Word. Anybody ever in that place where you're in a place and it's like what Pastor Jimmy said today, you know you're in the valley. There's not much you can do about it. But the one thing you can do is to submit to Him in the process and say, Lord, whatever You've got me here for, just like in school, I'm here in school. Lord, pull up the blackboard. Show me what I need to learn today. Because it's in those valleys, as Andre Crouch wrote in the song, it's in those places that we learn. And in those moments, a lot of times we would say, man, there's been many times I've been in a valley and I said, Lord, if You'll give me a trade-off to just go right on to the next mountain, I'll take it. And the Lord says, no, you got to learn. You got to stay here for a little while to learn something. But when we're in those places, as you said, Pastor, we're not there by ourselves. It's in those moments that I found for me, I found a new and a fresh awareness of the presence of God and of hope in God in a way like I would have not known before if I'd have just been camped out sitting back on the mountaintop. Because when you go through a valley, then you've got another story in your backpack to tell somebody else on the other side of that mountain and on the other side of the next valley. And God doesn't give you those valleys just for you to grow. He gives them for somebody else to grow. So those valleys are there for you to share your story with somebody else. Have you been blessed and encouraged and strengthened in the house of the Lord today? Anybody? Boy, I hope so. I have been. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Jimmy and Sharon, for being with us today. We love you guys. Thank you for pouring in to our people over the last few days. And we just thank you so much for being here and being with us this weekend. God bless you. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Don't know if you got anything else to do today. But, you know, just enjoy the rest of the day. I don't know if there's a big game tonight or not. But, you know, y'all enjoy the day. We'll see you back here Wednesday night for Family Ministries Night. God bless you. We've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel low.